We're Yisrael Shalom Parsha Toldot, page Kuf Ayin Dalid, Esek Sitna Virechovot. It's Shana Betcher, so I trust that you all are already intrigued and excited to get to the depth, no pun intended, to the depth of the meaning of the wells that are dug by Yitzchak in this week's Parsha. Vayach peru avdei Yitzchak benachal, vayimseu sham be'er mayim chayim. The servants of Yitzchak dug wells after he left Avimelech. They dug wells and had and found a live wellspring. Vayarivu roe grar im roe Yitzchak, and the shepherds of Grar, where Avimelech is from, were fighting with the shepherds of Yitzchak. Lemor lanu hamayim, they said, the water is ours. Vayikrashim abeir Esek. So it was called Esek, ki asku imo, because they fought with him by that well. Vayachbru be'er acheret, so he dug another well. Vayarivu gam aleha, and they also had a fight about that well. Vayikrash shema sitna, so that one was called sitna, which I think also is a type of strife. Vayatak misham, and they left from there. Vayachbru be'er acheret, and they dug a third well. Veloravu aleha, and that one they didn't fight over. Vayikrash shema richovot, and that third well was called richovot, which means leharchiv. It means an expanse. It's expansive. It's rechovot. Vayomer ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu, because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed us to expand, has allowed us to grow out. Ufarinu ba'aretz, and to spread out in the land. That's the psukim that we're going to focus on. Again, seemingly, honestly, on the surface, seemingly uninteresting psukim, seemingly irrelevant psukim. And as always, the Torah hides the deepest of depths in the psukim that seem to be the least relatable, that seem to be the least relevant. The wells that Yitzchak digs. I remember doing this piece many years ago. I don't remember exactly what he says, but I remember doing this piece many years ago and loving this piece, so we'll do it again together. Be'or ha'inyan al derech avoda. What does this mean, al derech avoda? Yesh lavin, de b'shloshet ha-be'erot, that in the three wells that Yitzchak digs, miromaz al gimel midot, hamidot shel ahavot, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. It's hinting to the three midot of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the first three of the midot in the seven midot. Right? Those of, I'm sure at this point, hopefully we're familiar at least with the names in the times that we've learned together. The upper three, the top of the three midot are Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. The mid of Avram is the mid of Chesed, the mid of Yitzchak is the mid of Gevura, the mid of Yaakov is the mid of Tiferet. Shem Amudei Ha'olam, which are the pillars of the world themselves. Ugedita b'Zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar says, Demitchila Haya Ha'olam Mitrofef, that originally the world was hanging in the balance. Ad Sheba Avraham v'tamchu b'yimino, until Avraham supported the world and gave it a salary, and he supported the world with the right. Uva Yitzchak v'tamchu b'smalo, and Yitzchak came and supported it with his left hand. Uva Yaakov v'tamchu b'emtza, and Yaakov came and supported it in the middle. Right, reflective of the fact, as again, in the times when we've talked about the Midot before, Avraham, the embodiment of Chesed, Chesed is on the right, it's embodied in the human body as the right arm. Gvura, Yitzchak, is embodied in the left arm. Tiferet is the torso, is the center of the body, is the spine. And so Avram supporting the world on the right, Yitzchak supporting the world on the left, and Yaakov supporting the world in the middle. They're supporting reality through their midot. They're the they're foundational pillars of on which the world stands. V'haya olam mitkayim, and then the world was able to keep going. The world got into a state where it was established, it was able to truly continue on in safety and security, where reality was able to go forward confidently once Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov come in and bring into the world the foundations of the world. Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet, the right, the left, and the center. Umashma'ut ha'olam mitrofef. What does it mean that the world was hanging in the balance? Haynu shelo hayalo schut kiyum. It had no schus, it had no merits upon which to continue. The world had no rights to continue going on its own. V'raki shaba'u gimel ha'avot, only when the three avos come along. V'tamchu b'imino, uvismolo, uve'emsa, and supported on the right, the left, and the center, top of the next column. Al yedei gimel ha'midot shelahem, supported through their three midot. He'eniku al yedei zeh schut v'kiyum le'olam. Through this, they're able to bring about schut, merit, and kiyum, sustainability to the world. V'alderech zeh yish leva'er inyan gimel ha'be'irot. Through this, we can understand the three be'erot, the three wells. Shirak acharei hashlishit hayita harchava. Only once the third well is dug, do we have expanse? Do we have things able to spread out? Do we have things able to start to move? Dinei ha'be'er arishon haya keneged midat ha'chesed. The first well that's dug, that's keneged the midah of chesed, keneged the attribute of chesed, midato shel Avraham, the midah of Avraham, dehainu midat ahava, the attribute of ahava, the attribute of love. Vizeu omro, and that's what it means, vayim tzu sham mayim, they found water there. Shemayim hu midat ahava, because love is connected to water. Water flows. Love is supposed to flow like water. It's supposed to outpour like water. Throughout Tanakh, throughout Chazal, Ahava, Chesed is Nimshal Tamayim. It flows forth. It comes out. We want it to keep flowing. V'yarivu ro'e grar, but the shepherds of Grar fought, im ro'e Yitzchak, fought with the shepherds of Yitzchak. Le'mor lanu hamayim, the water is ours. Shekochota sitra'achra tu'anin lanu hamayim, that the forces of the negative side, the negative forces of this world, came and fought Yitzchak and said, no, that water is ours. V'chafitzim lashvut b'shevi et midat ahava ula'apila ba'avot nefulot. And they wanted to take ahava captive. They wanted to take the reality of ahava captive and bring it into a reality of ahava, of ahavot nefulot. The world is founded on chesed. The world is founded on ahava. Olam chesed yibaneh, says the pasuk. That's how the world starts. It's the foundation of how the world is able to continue on. But ahava, chesed, ahava, the midah of ahava, while it's, yes, so foundational, the forces of the negative side, of the sitra achra, that's what sitra achra literally means, seter acher, the other side, the side of the other, the negative forces in this world, they can come and co-opt that love. They can come and take over that love. They can steal that love. And that love can go in a negative direction. Ahavat Hashem is the most powerful thing in existence. But it stems from Ahava itself. And Ahava can be funneled, channeled, properly, beautifully, towards Ahavat Hashem, the ultimate goal. It's been coming up, the concept of Ahavat Hashem has been coming up in the Nesivos Shalavos that I've been learning in with Shana Aleph. It happens to be coming up in those pieces. And the Rambam that he quotes there, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he talks about the Ahava Re'uya, the proper Ahava a person should have, that a person should mamish be crazy in love with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, should be, use the words, lovesick for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the person can't eat, can't drink, can't sleep, because they're so in love with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time. That's where the Ahava is really supposed to go. And the Sitra Achra wants to take that and bring it to a negative place. To have an Ahava for something that's not Kadosh, to bring the Ahava to a place of Tum'ah. So the realities of the Sitra Achra coming out through the shepherds of Gerar try to take that Mayim and bring it into Ahavot Nefulot. Love that it's expressed negatively. Love is that's expressed in a way that's negative, violating the boundaries between men and women, overturning them and not having it even be between men and women, bringing about in a way where lo alinu a person falls in love, thinks that they're falling in love with somebody who's not even Jewish. Those are ahavot nifulot, where the love is so strong and feels so real, but it's being taken over by the sitra achra and channeled in a way that brings about tum'ah, not tara, not kedusha. And so that's the attempt of the ro'e grar, that's the attempt of the sitra achra to go and take over that ahava and bring it to ahavot nifulot. Umiromaz bazeh, shim yudi osek b'avodat Hashem, rak midat ahava. And what's hinted in this is that when a person only serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu through ahava, and it's a very strong thing that he's saying, and it's very powerful to me that the Nesivos Shalom says this, that Chassidus brings it out. Chassidus, which always emphasizes so much of the time, Ahavat Hashem, because again, it is the goal. That when a person is osek in Avodat Hashem only from ahava, alul lipol chas v'shalom be'ahavot nifulot, then that person can go to ahavot nifulot, sheminanei ta'ava ve'ahavot asurot, to come to taiva, to come to physical desires, to come to asur ahava. In our world, we see it very clearly. We see both sides of it. We're not gonna go against one side any more than the other. We'll talk about the negatives of both. But certainly in our day and age, we see everything in this world right now is divided. Everything's all about taking extreme sides and fighting the other side. But this has been going on for a long time. It's been getting that way for a long time. We've seen the rise in our generation of a type of Avodas Hashem. It's that there are names for it, and I don't think everybody with the names of these strains of Judaism necessarily have Ahavot Nifulot. But where we see strains of Judaism, of frum Jewish practice, of frum Jews, the practice necessarily isn't so frum, but of frum Jews, who they go and their whole reality of Avodas Hashem is only from Ahava. And they're tremendously spiritual. They're tremendously ruchni. And they sing, and they connect, and they get together. And they get, again, I'm talking about extremes in these groups. The things that I've said so far are all beautiful and lovely and should be part of everybody's Judaism. But it goes to extremes. It becomes avot nefilot. And they get together, and we sing. And to get into it a little bit more, to really achieve the great heights in spirituality, I just need to get a little bit higher. So a little bit of drugs to get me a little bit higher. And then I'm in that state, and I'm a little bit high, and we're singing together. And I look at the person next to me, and she's so into it also. So I put my arm around her, because we're getting together into Avas Hashem. And I've got my arm around two girls, I'm a little bit high, and everything's good, and we're singing the music, and we're feeling, we're spiritually, it's beyond. What are you looking at me like that for? This is Avodas Hashem. You're telling me God doesn't love this? You can feel the ruchnius in the room. The answer is, yeah, there's ruchnius in the room. There's Sitra Achra in the room. There's Sitra Achra in the room. There's a very strong ruchnius in the room. But it's on the wrong side. And that's a way of Avodas Hashem now. There are names for it. Again, I don't think that the people who created those names or the people who began to get into those things, that was in any way what they were necessarily about. I don't even want to say words because I don't want to say names or define the groups because individuals in those groups shouldn't define those groups, nor should those groups have ever been defined in the first place. But you see that type of Ahavat Hashem. And the Ahava there is real, but those are Ahavot Nefulot. There's a story I usually tell in this context. I don't remember the last time that I've spoken about this concept before, but the story to me that really brings it out. There was a guy who was very much this type of mentality. This is one of my earlier years in Queens College. Very, very sweet guy. He came out of yeshiva that year. All the guys in his year that came out of yeshiva looked up to this guy. Really ruchni guy. And it was very, very sad. There was one day, I had a day off, and I went out. I was like, just don't even leave the house. If I leave the house, I know that I'm not going to have a day off. It was the beginning of my time at Queens College, and like it was totally overwhelming. I was like, Baruch Hashem, I have a day off. And I ran out the back of the house to go and take care of something. That wasn't so simple in and of itself anyway, because whenever I went to take care of something at the bank, and the bank teller said, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a rabbi at Queens College. He's like, I'm Jewish. And then I had to do some pastoral counseling for an hour for the teller at the bank. So I finally get out of the bank, and I run to get back to the house. And as I'm running across the street, somebody who's on the side of the street starts to honk at me, which I didn't react to because it's New York, so that's just what we do. But the person kept honking long after I'd crossed the street, and I was like, what's going on? I look, and it's this guy. And he's sitting there, sitting outside of the sushi place in Queens. He's sitting outside of the sushi place, in his car, eating sushi in his car. And if you understand these types of guys, the good ones and the ones who have Avot Nefilot, the good ones also, when that guy's sitting there eating sushi in his car honking at you, he's basically saying, come in, I need to talk to you. You have to understand the language. So he says, come in, I need to talk to you. So I walked over to the car. I didn't even ask. I walked over to the car, opened up the door, sat down. We start schmoozing for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then finally it starts to come out. It finally starts to come out. You know, Rabbi, I've been a little bit down. I want to be like, really? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here, yes. I'm a little bit down. I said, what's going on? He says, you know, I met this girl. I met this girl in class, and we really hit it off. And we're so in love. And it's killing me because my parents won't accept her, and my rabbein don't accept her, and my friends are hassling me. And all because she's not Jewish. What's the big deal? Just because she's not Jewish. It's fine. He's talking to me and talking to me and talking to me and explaining this to me. And I'm just, and you know, I'm keeping my rabbi game face on. And just listening. And it was clear that, again, people much greater than me, his rabbeim are much greater than me, have tried to talk him out of this. And I got that me talking him out of it was not going to happen. I just wanted him to felt heard, but also I wanted to make sure that I understood what he was trying to say, which was beyond my comprehension. So I said to him, in a way of understanding, I said, just let me get this straight. What you're saying is, you love her, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that love, so it's real and it's good. And if you and she and God were on an island together by yourselves, everything would be great. The only issue is that nobody else really understands you and understands the love that you have. And he looks at me. He looks at me and goes, Rabbi, you're the first person to understand me.
You're the first person to understand me. That's an Ahavat Nefilah. That's when, if you only have Ahavat Hashem, meaning you have no, we'll talk about it in a second, I assume, you have no Yirah. You have no fear that gives you borders and boundaries and lines that you don't cross. When that love can go anywhere, there's no borders. If it feels good, if it seems good, if it feels right, if it feels spiritual, how could it be wrong? That's an anafa. It's very real. This guy was very serious. It was very real. Very, very real. And when, footnote, and when, after he then left college after that semester and went to Hawaii, I have no idea what happened with the girl. And then eventually when I saw him years later, when he showed up at an alumni's wedding, I didn't see him first. He saw me first. And with his long, flowing, curly hair and you know, rings in all different parts of his face, he walked over to me at the wedding and he gave me a big hug. And he wanted to catch up. Understand, it's so, in this day and age, when you see somebody who you see is, Musar in this day and age is very, very careful, you have to be very, very careful about. There was no way to get this guy off. My goal, which Baruch Hashem was least successful in that extent was to let him know that there is a Jew out there who no matter what happens, I always care about you. I'm always here for you. I disagree with you, but I'm always here for you. And it was such a big simcha to me when he came and hugged me at that wedding. No kippah, no nothing. Call me up a little bit on his travels over the years. But that's an Ahavat Nefilah. And it's very real. You think it can't happen to me? The guy was in Shana Aleph 6 months before and came out and he was the guy everybody was looking up to. And he was not a guy who became black and white and then, you know, gave it all away. He was the guy who came out, he looked the same as he looked when he came out, but he thought, this love is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an Ahavat Nefilah. I just was arguing, you can ask in Shana Aleph, I was just arguing with the Shana Aleph student this week. She said, the Shana Aleph student claimed, this is in the context of a similar type of conversation in the class, I think it was Dafka about this topic. She said, you really want to tell me that my friend, I believe it's her friend. I don't think it's like my friend. You know, she said, like, listen, my friend, you know, was never had no spirituality. Ended up, he needed something to feel good in this world, so he started drugs, and then through drugs, he found Judaism. And because he's on drugs, now he does. He keeps Shabbos. He fasts on Yom Kippur. I said, it's shtuyot. It's not emes. That's not emes. She says, it was interesting. She answered me, but no, you don't understand. He says that it enhances his Judaism. I said, no, it doesn't. The word enhanced means I have something beforehand and it brings it out more. His religion is founded upon a false sense of spirituality. That's not real. That's not real. And that's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about even if somebody goes and enhances their spirituality with this, that's not enhancing your spirituality. That's an Ahavat Nefilah. That's an Ahavat Nefilah. When it goes to a negative place. And I need to be very careful. And so what can happen? Because Ahava can go either way, the Ro'e Grar can come out, and they can go and they can take it for the Sitrach. So what's the next step? We'll see in a second. Yeah.
So what's the deal with people getting drunk on Purim? Not Purim. Wait, yeah.
Getting drunk on Purim has precedence in the Gemara. Chai v'nishli v'sumi v'paraya d'lo yadav in arhan l'maruch Mordechai. You gotta know that by heart, because you gotta live Purim. Fine. That's Purim, and Purim needs to be understood in itself. Purim is a separate category. It needs to be understood in and of itself. Why are there some Jews who drink all the time, despite the fact that Nevi'im scream from the rooftops thousands of years ago that you shouldn't drink and that it's very dangerous and that you shouldn't and that it's not a why are there parts of Judaism that spend a tremendous amount of their religious life drunk? I agree with you, I have no idea. You have to ask them. I don't agree with it, and I don't understand it. The only time that my Rebbe drinks is on Purim. And the only time he's ever encouraged me to drink is on Purim.
What about Seder night?
What? Seder night. I quote-unquote, it's technically the wrong word, but I water down my wine with grape juice. I find the halakhic maximum that I can water it down with grape juice for it still to be considered wine, and that's what I drink because first of all, I can't stomach it, but also, second of all, like, there's no way not to get drunk on Purim. On this, Baruch Hashem, I couldn't. I'm at that point. There's no need to get drunk on.
But you could end up drunk.
So again, so I take it very seriously, and so I water it down with grape juice. Why not? You absolutely can. There's a ratio. I mean, back in the day, you always used to water down wine because it was very concentrated. So even our wine is not fully watered down, and I water it down with grape juice. Because grape juice, then, even if I go over whatever it is, it's still yotze. I definitely water it down with grape juice, but I water it down till the maximum. No chiv to get drunk.
No, not that. It's just like, that is also on Purim. It's enhancing your spirituality through it.
Again, Purim is a separate. Purim is a day that's like unlike any other day of the year, and that's why the laws and the way we relate to it is different from normal life. Okay. It's a day which is defined as being different than normal life. So take Purim out of the equation because it is exceptional. Okay. Show me anywhere else where there's a chiyuv to get drunk. You won't find it. Show me anywhere else where there's an isser to get drunk. I'll show you. So show me the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah that talk about whether or not it's even mutzer b'zman hazeh to get drunk, even on Purim. And I'll say, maybe get drunk anyway. But at least the discussion is there because, says the Mishnah Berurah, he says, if you think you're even going to say one bracha in a way that's wrong, then you're not up to the level and don't drink. It's a very serious thing, even on Purim. One has to really wait out, even on Purim. And that's the only exceptional thing. Substances do not bring you to avodas Hashem. It doesn't. And there's and any time where you're in a reality, any time when one is in a reality where again, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, then hopefully you won't see it. But I suspect one day when you're in a ruchni environment, when you or an environment of people who that ruchnius over time has been taken to a negative way, you look around and you see something about this is wrong. Remember this discussion. And you'll see it. You'll see it happen. You realize, this is Ahava Nefula. It's something to watch out for. Because the Ahava is real and the Ruchnius is real. And it's going to the wrong side. That's what could happen. Again, the Ro'e Gra were able to take away the waters that Avram brought out. Because you can bring even the Ahava of Avram, you can bring into an Ahava Nefula. And he continues on and says, continuing on. V'acharkach, 4 lines from the bottom. V'yachperu be'er acheret. Then they dug another well. Himidata Yirah, they dug the well of Yirah. Asher Rishit Chochma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of Chochma Yirat Hashem. You have to start with Yirah. Midatol Shel Yitzchak, that's where everything has to start from. Shebekoach Midata Yirah Nitzol Me'avot Ra'ot. That if you have Yirah, you can save yourself from Avot Ra'ot. Let's take it a little further, and then I'll explain. Kema'amar Maran Adonim Morinu V'Rabbeinu B'Veit Aram Zechotoy Genalim LaPasuk, as the Slonimer says, Isha Yirat Hashem. That a woman is a reality of Yirat Hashem. Shilatavot elu ha'itzarak Yirat Hashem. That when it comes to the way that it's being explained by the Slonimer is, speaking to men, but it goes on both sides, but speaking to men, that the only way to overcome the Yitzer Hara for Arayos, on both sides, what's the only way to do that? Yirat Hashem. The only way is through Yirat. Again, this guy being a case study of an example of the opposite. If you don't have that Yirat Hashem, so then there's no way to save oneself from Arayos. Shelatavot ilu haitzarak yirat Hashem. K'mamar Chazal, as Chazal say, charada meselaket et adamim. Without getting into what that means in this context, the actual meaning of that k'mara is sheyirat Hashem mitaheret ritichat damo shel yudi. That yirat Hashem is able to the shaking, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is able to take out the boiling of the blood of a Jew. Meaning, when a person, we even use it in English, that when the blood is boiling, I got heated up. What can take away that heated passion towards ta'ava, towards desire? Yirat Hashem is what can take that out. The shaking of Yirat Hashem can take that out. There's a few things I want to do at the same time, but I want to take your questions first, yeah.
If the Yira saves you from the bad ahava, then why does the Yira come first?
Good. Hold on. Yes.
I feel like oftentimes we get the word Yira wrong, so how is it defined in this context? Like awe or like actual fear? Or fear of punishment or fear of...
Regardless of how we translate it, the impact is meant to be the same. There's a lower form of Yira, which is fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just in the fact that I fear God or fear punishment or fear Gehenna, in that and of itself, that's fear. And I'm not going to do anything wrong because I'm afraid. Yirah in terms of awe, it has a similar impact from a much loftier place. How so? What is Yirah about on a higher level? Mazet, what is at the root of the word Yirah? What Hebrew word?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, right.
To see, lirot. What is Yirah really about? If I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu for who He truly is, the more and more and more I work on myself to see God for who He is, the more in awe I am of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more I recognize how infinite He is, and how infinitesimally small I am in comparison to Him, how could I possibly ever go against what He says? It leads me to the same conclusion. I can never go against his word, whether it's out of deep fear of him or of punishment, or whether it's from a place of, I'm in such awe of God, how could I possibly go against what he says? Who am I to go against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? I'm nothing. How could I go against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? It brings me to the same place of a reality of Yirah, which is having borders and boundaries. And that needs to come first. Reshit Chochma, Yirat Hashem. The beginning of Chochma is Yirat Hashem. The Zohar has, I'm probably not getting the language exactly correct, but something similar to Pekada Kadma Da Yirat Hashem. That the first point of knowledge is Yirat Hashem. The first thing you need to know, the first thing you need to get into is Yirat Hashem. Why does Yirah have to come first? We see it play out even in the Sifrei Musar. Has anybody here ever been through even the beginning of Masilas Sharam yet? What's the first point that he goes through? Zihirut. What's the second point? Zrizut. What's Zihirut? Mazeh lihizaher? Mazeh Zihirut? Caution, be careful. What's the first thing you need to do in Avodas Hashem? You need to define your borders and your boundaries. That's the first thing that you need to do, is you need to define your borders and your boundaries. That's the first thing you need to do. Why is that? I need to know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. I need to understand what the end point is. I need to understand what's legitimate Avodat Hashem and what is absolutely outside the boundaries of Avodat Hashem. That's Yirah. The caution sign, the warning sign, the fences put up that define the area, the arena of Yirat Hashem, the arena of Avodat Hashem. Once I've successfully, clearly defined the points that I'm not allowed to cross, and I have the proper Yirat Hashem that I will never cross that line, then what can come next? Then I can let the Ahava flow. Then I can just go and just lose myself and explode in Ahavat Hashem. Because when I'm in that zone of Ahava, I go crazy. Again, I'm lovesick. I'm crazy in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I just want to do anything to connect with Him. So what do I need when I'm going crazy in the out of love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I need those fences to keep me in bounds. That's what I need. I can't let myself go in Ahavat Hashem until I have the definitive boundaries of Yirat Hashem. That's why Ahava can go wrong. Because when I just explode with Ahava and I haven't made the boundaries yet, how do I know when I've gone out of the bounds? When it feels like Ahava. When I'm experiencing that Ahava. When it feels so right. And yet it's so Tameh. So the Yirah needs to come first. The boundaries need to come first. And then I need to let myself go and totally explode with a complete and total unbound Ahava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu within those confines. Now that gets complicated. Why does Chesed and Ahava come first, and why does Avram come first? Because again, the foundation, the ultimate goal, Sof Maaseh B'Machshava Tchila, the thing that's last in act is first in thought, meaning the goal, what's the ultimate goal? The goal is Ahavat Hashem. That's what everything's supposed to lead towards. But can it sustain itself without Yirah? No. I forget who pointed this out. I forget where I read this once, or maybe heard it once. When Avraham comes to Eretz Yisrael at first, does he come alone? Who does he come with? Two easy answers and one Chazal.
Sarah
and? Lot and? Who do Chazal say he brings along? Excellent. Who said that? Excellent. At Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, and all of the souls that he made in Charan. He brought a whole world of converts with him. You know what's interesting about that? Where did they go? We never hear about them again. Ever. And there's only 70 people who go down to Mitzrayim by the time we get to Yaakov. That's two generations later. Where did all of these converts go? What happens? With what were they converted? With Ahava. And when Avram went away, they walked away also. Ahava can't sustain on its own. It requires a foundation of Yirah. Ahava can never, ever sustain on its own. It requires a foundation of Yirah. That's what he's saying here also. We need to go back. Yitzchak needs to go back and redig those wells from a place of Yirah. However, even though Yirah is more foundational, however, four lines in on the next page, Achim gam bazeh od nemru vayarivu gam eleha. Even in this, the shepherds of Grar, the shepherds of the aspects of the Zedrach are able to come out against them. There's very, very big danger in only living with Yirat Hashem without any Ahavat Hashem. Like I said, we're going to be equally harsh on both extremes. I'm not advocating for one type of expression of Judaism over another. Both extremes on both sides, as with any, I mean, we certainly see this in our world today. Everything is extremes, and both extremes are always wrong. In every arena of life right now. Everything right now in the world stage is about extremes, and both of the extremes are always wrong. There's great danger in Yira alone. As the tzaddikim say, because the soul of Klal Yisrael, it's about tanug, it's about enjoyment, it's about living a positive life. And that's why we're always looking for tanugim. He says, you're so powerful. Hear the words of the Sivu Shalom, hear the words of the Tzadikim. People were drawn towards Tanug. We want enjoyment. We want pleasure. We're designed that way. And warned the Tzadikim, if you don't have a Judaism that's vibrant and alive, and you don't find joy and pleasure in the context of your Judaism, if your Judaism, and here we're going here, because we see this for sure throughout the Jewish world as well. If a person leads a life where, yes, they're following even every single halacha and Shulchan Aruch, but they're doing it resentfully and angrily and from a place of depression and from a place of feeling like they're just being squelched in terms of who they are and what they want to be, and there's no joy in their Judaism and there's no joy in their religious life, inevitably, he says, a person will be drawn towards ta'anugim, will be drawn towards joys and pleasures that are against the Torah itself. It's impossible to sustain Judaism on Yirah alone. And you see this coming out of the yeshivas also in the other direction. I don't know what it looks like in terms of the seminaries per se, but certainly like when I was post yeshiva, you know, you go to the next stage of life after Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and you Baruch Hashem, B'shachem, you're learning in a base medrash, and you're learning, you're going to a Gemara Shir, a Gemara study, you're in a yeshiva, you're in a university that has a yeshiva that has a university, whatever the case may be, right? You go to a place like that, and you go to the base medrash. So many people. They're sitting there, and they're learning learning the fine differences. That's Yira, that's Din, that's judgment. The fine differences in all of these nuances of the Halakha, and all of these nuances of the Halakha. There's no joy. There's no Simcha. There's intellectual stimulation. I do what I gotta do. I'm a Jew. What am I gonna do? I have to do the mitzvah. Oh, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Yeah, I know I'm gonna miss out a little bit, but Nebuch, I have to daven mincha. What are you gonna do? I'll take 5 minutes to go down. It's an annoyance. It's an inconvenience. It's a struggle. I don't really care about it, but I learned I was supposed to do it. I'm only in it for the intellectual pursuit. Guys like that, they walk out. They walk out of Beis Medrash. After a certain amount of time, they may even still stay in Beis Medrash. Because they like to learn. It's exciting to learn. It's interesting to learn. But when they walk out of Beis Medrash, there is no remnant of them being a Ben Torah. And even the ones who make it, even the ones who make it. I think I can say this. I don't know why there's any way to trace this back to the person. It's not true. You do see it a lot with older, not older, older, with a few years past seminary, with women as well, for sure. If you don't find excitement and love within Judaism, there is a very, very real machla in so many Jewish communities. I've definitely seen it. In so many Jewish communities, where you're all told that life is the base medrash and learning Torah and davening and all these things that we've been talking about, and that's true. That life is all about that, and that's great that we're told that. But then what happens? Then you go and you go to college, things are more complicated. That's fine, that's life. Then you go and you get married. Things get more complicated, more things taking your time. B'shatav al-Mutzlacha, then you have kids. And not just one, then two, B'shatav al-3, 4, however many you're planning to have, you intend to have, and maybe don't intend to have, Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands. Whatever, however it is that life goes. And it's heartbreaking. If you talk to a lot of frum women, I don't, through my wife. If you talk to a lot of frum women and get them to be honest about what's going on inside of their Avodas Hashem, when they're told again and again and again in Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, which for many people becomes the foundation of their Judaism, what makes you really successful in Shana Aleph and Shana Bet, which some teachers in Shana Aleph and Shana Bet places will tell you, this is the high point of your religious life, which I totally disagree with, and we can talk about that separately if you want, but I vehemently disagree with that perspective, and I know that it permeates almost every seminary. I know that's the case, but this is not the height of your religious life. This is not. This is the beginning of a long, Bezrat Hashem, vibrant journey where this is the first step. But when you talk to people who have been told that, and they remember, what's the height of Judaism? As a girl, as a woman, sitting in Beis Medrash all day in endless shiurim and davening in between, and running upstairs to make food to keep going for it. That's basically it. Those are the only things to do. Daven, learn, eat. That's it. That's Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. Great. Great. It's not great. It's not great. Because then what happens? Then what do you tell the woman who's now has no, she has literally no brain cells that are functioning left on her third kid while she just is coming out and she's on maternity leave and she's nursing and she's trying to figure out the second oldest one and when, you know, what's going on with him or her and how are they doing in Ghana, and the one who's old and that's doing in school and trying to figure out, and there's 8 million things pulling at her, and she's also working a job because you need two income families now. What and there's no time to and what is she doing on Yom Kippur? Her husband's in shul the whole day and she's home with the kids. And suddenly it falls and falls and falls. It was so painful to me. There's somebody who's a mentor of mine who said to me that he appreciates, this was years ago, and I don't think she's listening now in either way, even if she is, so whatever. A mentor of mine. It was so hurtful to me to hear it. He said, "Thank you so much for posting your Nesivos Shalom Shirim online. My wife's been struggling with finding ruchnius in her Judaism, and she's been listening to your shirim, and these shirim and Nesivos Shalom, the words in Nesivos Shalom have been lifting her up a little bit." And it was crushing because he was a mentor of mine, and I was around his wife also, and he was my mentor. He still is my mentor. And the fact that when I knew her, when she was so religiously alive, I certainly know what she's going through, and she wouldn't share it with me and shouldn't share it with me. But the fact that he could even say that to me was so painful. I looked up to them as the height of a religious couple. And I still do. There's nothing wrong with her. There's something wrong with the Judaism that focuses on Yirat Hashem without imbuing the proper Ahavat Hashem in that context in a way that's sustainable throughout the lifetime of a man when he goes out to college and then to work and then to get married and then to have a family with his challenges. And a woman when she goes out to go to college and then to work and then have a family with her own challenges. Where there isn't a ta'anug in the Judaism, in everything that I'm doing, even when I'm outside of the Beis Medrash, even when I'm outside of the Beit Knesset, that everything that I do is Avodas Hashem, and I see ta'anug in every aspect of my Avodas Hashem. If you don't have that, you're going to go off. That's why, unfortunately, you do see, we're not talking about the people who go to Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and then Lo Aleinu flip back within, you know, anywhere between 2 and 6 months. But you watch the saddest, to me, even sadder than that, because there's a whole challenge of what actually happened there, and that was a problematic situation from before, and if it flips back in 2 to 6 months. But more painful than that to me are the ones who drift. The ones who drift. Where every year they drop one more mitzvah, and one more mitzvah, and one more mitzvah. In their community of people, who together are dropping one more mitzvah, and one more mitzvah, because there's no sweetness in Judaism anymore. And they're doing it because there's no sweetness in their Judaism. The foundation is Yira. The foundation is Yira. But Yira without Ava, it also can't sustain. It won't make it in the long run. They'll still keep some mitzvot, but it won't really make it in the long run. We're in big trouble. We're 38 minutes in, and we have 15 minutes left. So then what do we do? I don't know what I'm saying. We got 15 minutes left. But my point is, we're in big trouble. We only got 15 minutes left. So then what do you do? Then what do you do? What is Jewish life about? How do you live a vibrant Jewish life? So let's go forward. Let's see what he says. V'lakach, therefore, ha'oved b'midah ta'yira levada, one who serves God out of yira alone, ve'ein lo ta'anug b'avodas Hashem, and has no ta'anug in their avodas Hashem, has no joy, has no pleasure in their avodas Hashem. Again, not a self-serving pleasure, but their Judaism isn't real and vibrant as it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be joyous and enjoyable.
It's a pasuk in Chumash. One of the reasons why the tochacha happens is because tachat asher lo avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem b'simcha uvetuv levav. God expects us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with joy, that we have joy in our avodas Hashem. It's a pasuk. It's not a self-indulgent pleasure. It's truly linking into the essence of Judaism, which itself is joyous, is full of simcha, is full of pleasure. Ruchni pleasure. We don't do it for that, but if you're doing it right, you have that. That's not the ends, but it shows you that you're doing it right when there's timing in your avodas Hashem. Alula vakeish tamim asim, that you're going to end up going after. Lo alino, person ends up going after. Aser tanugim, ends up going after. Taivas in the physical world. Physical pleasures that pull us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vizeu omro, and that's what it means when it says, Vayarivu gam alea vayikra shema sitna, that they also fought against it, and they called it sitna. Sheish bazeh mashmut grua yoter mi be'esek. He says, and this is in line with the Hasidic take, is that that's even worse than ava nefula is yira nefula, he says. Keeping mitzvot dryly and being unhappy in your Judaism and doing aviras, then you've just lost everything. Then what's the point of being, then there's no Jewish life there at all. It's even worse than Asik. And the word sitna is even worse of a negativity in one's Judaism, even than an avanifula. It's even worse than an avanifula. Satan, that it's like a satan coming against you. When you hate Judaism, when you come to resent and hate Judaism, lo aleinu, not you. When a person, again, you see it time and again though, when a person comes to hate and resent their Judaism and feels like it's holding them back and feels like it's just dragging them down, and all their other friends are going out, and the ones who, again, I'm speaking from alumni that I've interacted with, and they're watching all of their friends go out, and the ones who've decided to leave Judaism behind. The ones who've decided that they don't need to wear tzinuah clothing anymore. And they don't need to keep up shomrei nigiyah anymore. And they're getting to go out and to hang out and to party and to go to bars and to go and to hang out with each other and have boyfriends and to do whatever they want, all these things. Why? They're so much happier than me. They're so much happier than me. Why am I doing this? And even if you're doing it, you hate it. It's so sad to see. You don't have to think so hard about what communities we're talking about. 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line. And again, we don't talk about it enough. Even within the from married community, you see it. They don't talk about it. We're tzanua about it. We don't talk about it. But so much spiritual depression behind the smiles at the Shabbos tables. Because we need to learn how to keep the tanug of Judaism alive in not like in seminary. Seminary is not real life. If anybody tells you that, you come back to me, and so at least somebody can give you a counterpoint. Seminary is not real life. It's infusing you with Judaism that's supposed to then unfold and expand and express itself throughout real life outside these gates. And if you think that this is real life, you're in for a big problem, because nothing else resembles this. And then you're going to think, wow, I miss real Judaism. This isn't real Judaism. I'm not doing it anyway. Why am I bothering doing it? Boom. 1, 2, 3 steps. You just walk away. It's a very, very dangerous mentality. Ad asher vayatek misham, until finally he goes from there. Vayachpor be'er acheret. And he goes to dig a different well. Shukineged Yaakov. That's Keneged Yaakov. The Midah, as it needs to be so, of Tiferet. The Midah of Tiferet, Bezrat Hashem by all of you in Tiferet. The Midah of Tiferet. HaKolelet Ahava V'Yirah. What's the uniqueness of the Midah of Tiferet? It's the balance, it's the union, it's the synthesis of Ahava and Yirah. Shuinyan Avodat Hashem Be'ahava V'Yirah Ke'echad. It's the Midah that unites them. And by living the Midah of Yirah, of Tiferet, You're living a reality of Ahava and Yira together. The lo ravu aleha, the Sitra Achra couldn't touch it. The Ro'e Gerar couldn't touch it. There was no fighting over that well. Vayikra Shma Rechovot, that's able to mamish go out. Ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu ufarinu ba'aretz, because now we can go and we can spread out throughout the land. Shal yidei avodat Hashem midat tiferet, when you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the midah of tiferet, from the midah of balance, from the union of Ahava and Yira. Hakolel davav yira magia yudi lekiata yirchiv Hashem lanu v'vinu baaretz. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu is letting us spread out and mamish be successful and go out into the land. Ki zeaderech levarat Hashem laavod Hashem brach be'avav yira keachad. That's that we can go into Hakadosh Baruch Hu mamish with both together. That's shua avodas Hashem. Ki ma'amar Chazal, Chazal say anochi v'lo yelecha b'dibur echad ne'amru shuinan avav yira. That's why Hakadosh Baruch Hu says anochi Hashem elokecha and lo yelecha elokim elohim achrim al panai. He says I am Hashem your God. The dibur of ahava, the dibur of connectivity. I am Hashem, your God, who connects to you. Hashem Elokecha, Asher Oteticha. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I don't care that I created the world. What's significant about me being God? It's that I care about you. I love you. I took you out of Egypt. That's the first Ezer to be brought. It's about the connection that we have, the love that we have. And the second dibur, Yira. Lo Yelecha Elohim Achrim Panai. Don't have any other gods but me. They're said with Dibur Echad. Why are they said with the same breath by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do to say two sentences in one time? Because you can't have one before the other. Or the other one first. Or more of... You need to have balance of the two. They need to be Ke'echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself shows that to us in the first of two Aseret Dibrot. They have to be Ke'echad. Unify in one together. I need to be able to go. And to go to beautiful kumzitzes and sing and get into it. But if I see that there are certain things being passed around, I need to be able to get up and walk away. And go to a different chevra. And keep singing. And if I go to with a chevra that really is getting into all the nuances of the halacha. And then they go out. And they're going and doing whatever they're doing because they don't really care about the halacha that they just learned. Because there's no joy in it. I need to find a chevra that keeps halacha because they're committed to it from a place of passion. I need to have the understanding that there needs to be that synthesis. To find a chevra that has that synthesis. To find outlets for avodat Hashem, for Talmud Torah, for tefillah, for avoda that have that synthesis. That have that synthesis. And I need to look at myself. And most importantly, I need to make sure that I have that synthesis. That I know those times where it's going too far in one direction, that's no longer the ahava that I want. It's going too far in the other direction, it's too dry and dead of a yira, that's not what I want. It's going to kill my ahava, it's going to kill the other side of my Judaism. And to find that balance, to find those people of balance, to find that reality of balance, that's a vibrant Jewish life. I would never, ever, ever be over that mitzvah, be over that avira. Because I love that mitzvah. I would never be over that avira. Because I love the mitzvah and I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I desperately want to sing. So I made it sure to wash and say Hamotzi at Se'udah Shlishit and do it at Se'udah Shabbos where I wash even though I don't have to. There's heterim to not wash. But I want to do it L'mahadrin because I love Shalashudas and I love Shabbos and I want to Davka have Se'udah Shlishit, a third meal with Hamotzi and to be able to have another Birkas HaMazon. And I want that to be, and then I want to come and bring my chevra together and then I want to sing there. But Shabbos ended. It's time for the first Maariv. So what? That's why there's a second one. Why would I want to stop? My Ava's overflowing. But we're down to the last Maariv. Oh, we got a bench because we also daven Maariv. My Ava, my Yira are in balance. I want to sing. I'm doing a Shal Shudas. So I'm watching. I have to bench. I need to go daven Maariv. But I don't have to go yet. I can keep going. I want it to go more because the Bakadosh Baruch Hu, I want to sing more. But now we're getting to the end. I don't want to stop. But I have to stop because I need to daven the Minyan. The balance of Ava and Yira. The balance of Ava and Yira. That's vibrant Avodas Hashem. It's real Avodas Hashem. That's sustainable Avodas Hashem. That's where it's meant to be. Let's keep going with the next paragraph. V'ish lavin od. I mean, and that was, if he's saying lavin od, that means that's the end of a concept. Meaning we've made a point there. I hope that we really can internalize that. That is Avodas Hashem. And unfortunately, we hinted to many things. Many challenges that are ahead of you all. Many challenges that are ahead, honestly, of all of us in every stage of life. And all of those need to be unpacked. Any of you who want to talk about any of them in particular, and if any of them particularly interest you or you're nervous about them or you want to understand them better, we should talk about it. But it doesn't matter. Whatever stage of life we are at,
This is relevant to us. Whatever stage of life we're at, we need to fight for both Av and Yira, fight for the friends. That's the only vibrant of Avodat Hashem that will sustain. V'yesh lavin od inyan ha-be'er ha-shlishit. Another aspect of this third well. Shekeneged Yaakov. Shekeneged Yaakov, she'alea lo ravu. That this third well, which was Keneged Yaakov, Keneged the meat of Tiferet, Yaakov, that they didn't fight against this third well. They were unable to conquer this third well. Shemirumaz bazeh al Torah HaKadosha. That this is hinting to the Torah HaKadosha itself. The Midah of Tiferet, the Midah of Yaakov is the Midah of Torah. She Midato shel Yaakov, that's the Midah of Yaakov. And we say in the Pasuk, Titin Emet li Yaakov. What's the ultimate, what's the only ultimate truth that there is? You should all know the answer to this. What's the only ultimate truth in the world?
Shem.
Therefore,
Torah.
How do we have access to that? Torah. The only ultimate truth in this world is Torah. Because it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who holds ultimate truth. So the Midah of Yaakov, who's the Midah of Emet, he is the Midah of Torah as well. She'al yidei koach ha-Torah kvar lo ravu aleha. Once we get to the reality of Torah, then they're unable to fight with that. They can't take that from us. She'koach ha-Torah miganeu metzalei al yehudish yuchal ha-chazik ma'amad keneged kol ha-gibrot ha-yitzara. When a Jew truly has Torah, they're able to be strong and to stand keneged anything that the Yitzara throws at them. When we have Torah, when we have that objective perspective on reality, when we see the world through Torah lenses, then we see the world for what it is, and we can go against, we can fight against, we can sustain and battle against any Yitzhahara that there is. Then we can totally be successful and multiply in the land. As the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov said, based on the Gemara Masechet Tanit, it says, Yaakov Avinu lo meit. The Gemara in Tanit says that Yaakov Avinu never died. And the Gemara addressed it. It says, what do you mean he didn't die? He had a hesped. He was mummified. We have the whole end of Sefer Bereishit talks about how he died. So the Gemara deals with it. And it gives its own answer. But the reality is Yaakov Avinu, in essence, Yaakov Avinu lo meit. Yaakov Avinu doesn't die. What does it mean? How did the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov explain it? Shekai ala Torah shemidat Yaakov. The Midah of Yaakov can never die. Because what's the Midah of Yaakov? Torah, and Torah is eternal. Torah is eternal. Nothing can combat, nothing can take down Torah, because it's ultimate truth. Shebechol hamidot yishbichnat mita. In all of the Midah, there's an aspect of death. Be'et she'adam nofel madregotav midah hahi. When a person fails in that, when my ahava goes the wrong way, that's like the death of that Midah a little bit. My gvura goes the wrong way, it's like the death of that Midah a little bit. When my tiferet goes the wrong... It can't. My tiferet can't go the wrong way. Because then it's not tiferet, then it's not tiferet, bechla. Because what is tiferet? It's about being in the center and being in balance. It's defined as not going towards one direction or the other, bechla. It can't go in the wrong way. It is emes. It's the emes of balance. It's the balance of emes. That's what it is. Shebechol amidot yish bechinat mitam. We just read that. Shemasig kinyan haTorah. When a person truly acquires Torah, bekoach ze yachol la'avor et kol ha-matzavim, then you can get through anything. Because if you truly acquire Torah, what have you truly acquired? Real Yirat Hashem, Yirat Shemayim. Because you understand the severity of sin, you understand the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you understand the low tases of the Torah. And if you really understand Torah, and you understand that if you really what Torah is, that it's that which binds us to God. To the infinite. How could I be anything but besimcha? How could I be anything other than love struck? If I truly bind myself to Torah, then I can never be taken off the path. There's no death by reality of Torah. And if I find my Judaism lacking, it's not because my Judaism's lacking, it's because I'm lacking. The Judaism's fine. My Rebbe, Rav Amos, he says it a little bit harsher. He quotes a midrash. I think if the pasuk comes to the end of Parshat Ha'azinu, at the end of the Torah, it says, Lo davar reku mikem, that the Torah shouldn't be empty from you. What does that mean? Chazal say, the way he quotes it as, V'im reik, if you find emptiness within the Torah, mikem hu reik. You're just projecting your emptiness onto the Torah. The Torah is shalim. Torah Hashem tamima. The Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says in that, Torah Hashem tamima, what does it mean? Says the Baal Shem Tov, tamim means complete, whole. But we have hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of svarim out there. There's endless, look how much Torah we have. Look how much we've chipped away and we've defined Torah. Says the Baal Shem Tov. All the Sfarim in the world that we have. Rav Bina back in the Tivari, he would say, all we need left is a separate sefer on Hilchos Asher Yatzar, and then we have a complete set. Meaning we have Sfarim, we have entire Sfarim on every single halacha in Shulchan Aruch at this point. Back in the day, they just had Shulchan Aruch. Now we need a sefer on every, and it's a beautiful thing. Says the Baal Shem Tov, with every sefer written, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of Torah to the extent that we can say that it's not whole. That's how much we haven't even scratched the surface of the Torah. It's ultimate, infinite truth. When we have that, we can sustain anything in life. V'zema distiv, v'v'era shlishit. And that's what it says by the third well. Vayatek misham, and he went from there. Dinermu chazal say, ein divrei Torah mitkaimin elav misha memit atzmo aleha. That a person can't truly uphold the Torah be'emes for real until a person has, so to speak, killed himself over it. Shein derech la'asig kinat Torah ki imal yidei vayatek. The only way to truly be able to acquire Torah is vayatek, to let oneself go. Shemit na'er lagamrei, top of the next column, mikol yanei olam hazeh, to totally let go of our desires in this world, to totally let go of our physical investment in this world, to stop living any moment of this world where olam hazeh, where physicality is an end unto itself, but to only utilize physicality as a means to a spiritual end. And to kill myself over the Torah, to let my whole physical reality die, it's dead to me, I don't care. I only care about the Torah. I only care about true emes. Okay, my body wants things that I don't want, that the Torah doesn't want. It doesn't interest me anymore. I let my body die, so to speak. Obviously, I need to keep it alive and take care of it. That's one of the mitzvot in the Torah, but only as a means to a spiritual end. I have no interest in the body except that I need to maintain it in order to keep going in my avodas Hashem. That's the only interest I have in my body. Zeu. Ulahalim ketiv da'evin dolal pia be'er. Later on, it says that there was a large stone on top of the well. That even in the well of Torah, which they weren't able to argue with, the Yitzhar is still going to try to fight us. There's a stone that's sitting there that's trying to keep us away from it. It can't stop, it can't break the well, it can't plug up the well. It can't fight us for the well, but it's going to try as hard as it can to put a stone on that well. It seems like it's inaccessible to us. The Yitzhar is going to make it feel like it's inaccessible to us. The word Evan is one of the names of the Yitzhar Hara. That stone that stands in our path that says you can't keep going. And all of us, no matter where we are in our Avodas Hashem, have had a moment where the Yitzhar Hara has looked at us on our own level and said, stop now because you just can't keep going. That's mamish the Yitzhar Hara. Yitzhara mitkaber al Yehudi shelo yasok b'Torah. The Yitzhara tries to stop us from learning Torah. I just can't. You know, I'm just too tired today. I just can't go to my night seder tonight. I just can't go to my Akshe Chavruta today. I can't get up to my pre-shachris chavrusa. I can't make it to class today. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I missed lunch. I was able to get a little bit to eat, and I'm just feeling tired and worn out. I went and it was a beautiful thing. I did a mitzvah. I went to the blood drive, so I can't go to the next three shiur after I go to the blood drive because I have to, you know, regain my strength. Shtiyot. So sleep in. You know what? Sleep in class. I'm so tired of that every year. Sorry, Rabbi, I went and donated blood. Unless you're actually passing out. Unless you're actually passing out. You were exempt. You were the good for you. You were the only one who had a legitimate taina. Except for you. So go and be spaced out in class. Makes me crazy every year. It's good, you did a mitzvah. Baruch Hashem, so come to class. I haven't done the mitzvah. Why? What does that mean? Come to class. Go to shir. Whatever. Sorry. It's very into chesed, so Baruch Hashem, so they do it every year. I've never seen it done in the other places that I've worked at. I'm sure that they do, but I've never seen it done. But every year I'm like, well, why is it falling to? I went to the blood drive, so I'm not going to be in shir. It's one to do the other. Again, put your head down if you have to, but take in the Torah. The Torah says to you in every instance, even in that instance, again, I would claim, unless, I'm not going to say name, but unless you look like she looked like after the blood drive, right? Unless you look like that, then unless you look like that, you were patur. Unless you look like that, then it's the Yitzhar Hara that says to you, I can't go. It's the Yitzhar Hara that tells you, you know what? It's Thursday. I went to every shir, every chavrut. I'm in Shana Bet during Corona. I go to shir when there's no shir, because where else is there to go? I'm living in the Beis Medrash because I've forgotten what the outside world looks like. Meaning like, even, and so now it's Thursday. It's Thursday afternoon. I put in so many extra hours. Do I really need to go to night seder Thursday night? I just need to get a good night's sleep to be ready for Shabbos. No. No. Yetzer hara tells you, I can't. You say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. You go, you push that yetzer hara right out of the way. Sorry, that wasn't even the main point of the piece. I just clearly feel strongly about that. Yetzer hara mitgaber al yehudi. The yetzer hara goes, and it tries to stop us. Shelo yasu b'torah k'roi, to not learn Torah properly. Shelo limudo shelo yishma. I was saying it on your level because, like, that's you guys, that's what keep you away. Every day in morning seder, in morning seder in yeshiva. It's like, they were like, I don't even print 16 copies anymore. Like, it's so sad. I don't even bother to print 16 copies anymore. I just print 13. Because at least three guys will message me that morning, oh, this happened, I'm not going to be at morning seder. How can I already know that three guys aren't going to make it? Because it's the Minas Shana Aleph, and so they have much, much more Yitzharas to get in their way. Halavai, your Yitzharas are the blood drive. Halavai, your Yitzharas that you've been learning 3 million hours this week, so you can't go for the 3 millionth and first hour. But the Shana Aleph goes, oh, I was up late, I was schmoozing, I wasn't able, I was talking to my roommates, I missed breakfast, I forgot to daven shachris, whatever that means. Like, you know, like, it's shiut. You push through, but that's the Yitzhar, but to get, that's the Yitzhar talking. For real life out there, when we get, for real life out there, I have so many hours in my workday. Yeah, I want you to meet. The doctors out there in residency who are working like dogs, and they go and they learn at least an hour, an hour they learn before they go to their 5 a.m. shift. My Rebbe says this all the time. He says, who do you think after 120 a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at more? The guy who sat in Kollel all day, but wasn't meant for Kollel, and spends most of the day smoking a cigarette, drinking coffee, and schmoozing with his buddies outside of the Beis Medrash, and learns 5 minutes? Or doesn't he? He learns for 3 hours of the whole day. Or the hour that the guy gets up and learns from 4 to 5 a.m. before he goes to residency. A friend of mine, who dafka mamish plowed through and continued to learn Shas, but certainly was learning in the morning, when he was in the beginning of his career in finance. In the beginning of his career in finance, overtook his life to the point where at my wedding, I gave him aid yichud because I knew he'll at least make it to the yichud room, even though he might miss the shmorg and he might even be late to the chuppah. And his backup, who I designated as a backup for him, I saw standing next to the room because he didn't even make it to the yichud room. He only made it for the dancing because he couldn't get out of work. Still learned every morning. No, I can't. It's the Yitzhar that says, I can't. I can. I said for years, I can't learn Shas. It's too overwhelming for me. You all taught me last year with 30 for 30. Yes, you can. Even if you're teaching from 9:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night, you can find another hour in the day. And I'm still doing it to 12 months later. Why? Because you can. Because you can. You taught me that. Whenever you hear the words, I can't, that's the Yitzhar. It's always the Yitzhar. Vayitzalazin. The Yitzhar for this is. Vayigash Yaakov vayigala to Evami al Pia Be'er. He goes and he pushes it off the be'er. What is able to push the stone off the well? Yaakov. What's Yaakov? Torah. The Torah perspective can overcome any Yetzer Hara. Seeing the world through the lens of Torah, living Torah, can overcome any Yetzer Hara. Bekoach Yaakov, shebekoach avav yirak echad, with ava and yirah together. It can overcome the Yitzhar Hara, which sits on the well of Torah. One last little paragraph, please, for me. I apologize. The concept, what does it mean that the world is waiting in abeyance until Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov come along, until Ava, Yiran, and Tiferet come along? Kai gam al olamo shel adam prati. This is about every single individual Jew. This is all of us. Sholam katan. We're all of us a miniature world. We're all of us a small reality. We're a microcosm of reality. Sha'af kasher yudio sik batorah. That even when we learn Torah, the avodah, and we do avodas Hashem, mikol makom yesh olamo mitrofeif. We can live in a reality where our whole world, my whole internal world, is hanging in abeyance. Veino yachol ikayim, and it can't sustain itself. V'ubechinat yalu shamayim yaradu tomot. Below Yitzivut, we can be in a reality where we don't have, where our Judaism isn't on solid foundations. The Atzato, Hi Bishlemud, Gimel Amudim, how do we do this? How do we survive? How do we grow it? How do we sustain our Judaism? How do we sustain it here in Kal Vachomer? How do we make sure to sustain it post Shana Aleph, post Shana Bet? How do we sustain it in the real world? How do we sustain it in college? How do we sustain it in marriage? How do we sustain it in working life? How do we sustain it with kids? How do we sustain it? The Atzato, Hi Bishlemud, Gimel Amudim, only with these three pillars. This is what
gives us a foundation for Torah for our lives, a foundation for true avodas Hashem for our lives. Al yidei shabar Avraham midat chesed va'ava v'tumcho b'yamin, by having the ava chesed sustain us from the right. Uva Yitzchak midat the yirav v'tumcho b'shlomo, and have gvura yira sustain us from our left. Uva Yaakov midat haTorah, and have the Torah standing at the center of our lives. V'tamchu ba'emsa, and hold it up from the center. As kvar ein olamo mitrofei v'yish lokim v'yatzivut. Then we can overcome anything. We can sustain any challenge of life. Any challenge of life. Bezrat Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that we should be able to see the necessity in our lives of having both avay and yirah, to never stray too far extreme to one or the other. To create that balance, to live, not just to have been in Tiferet, but to literally take Tiferet with you and live a life of Tiferet, a life of unity of Ahava and Yira, a life of balance of Yira, where I never cross those boundaries because I have such a vibrant Avodas Hashem. With that pillar of Torah, of Yaakov, of Emes, of Tiferet in the center, where it can overthrow any Yitzhar Hara that's in my path. To be able to have that balance, to walk through, to walk forward in life with strength and clarity, overcome all of the Yitzhar Haras, and to live a full, vibrant life of true, balanced Avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem on all of us.